Hi, welcome to the Brain Injury Answers Podcast. This is Dr. David Glazer providing the answers you need when a brain injury occurs. This podcast is for educational purposes only. For treatment, please consult your physician. This podcast does not represent the Department of Veterans Affairs. All right, let's get started. Hi, so today on the Brain Injury Answers Podcast, we're going to answer a series of questions that we have received recently, and they're in essence applications of prior podcasts, of prior knowledge that have been provided. So to start, one question is concerning why did my loved one have to have a tracheostomy tube and a feeding tube put into his body? Will this tracheostomy leave him with an inability to talk? Will he never be able to talk or eat again like he used to? Answer. So in general, a tracheostomy tube is placed when a patient is having trouble protecting their airway or breathing on their own, and it's lasted a lengthy amount of time, meaning really more than a few hours or a couple days, even going a week long is oftentimes pushing it. And the doctors, usually the surgeons, decide, let's put a tube into the tracheostomy area, into the tracheal area, to help the patient breathe better, whether they're connected to a breathing machine or not. Because by leaving a tube through the mouth and going into the trachea can become very agitating and have a much higher risk for infection. Regarding the feeding tube, if a feeding tube is not placed through the stomach, it is generally placed through the nose. After a while, if that feeding tube is through the nose, it can start to wear away at the nose, and it can also become easily dismounted. It can come out. It can even fall out or slide out from its proper positioning. So by having a feeding tube straight into the stomach, nutrition is maximized as soon as possible. And it's known that the better someone can be fed, the more nutrition and proper nutrition they have early on in their injury, the more likely the outcomes will be more positive. Just think, if someone fasts for a couple days, they're not going to feel as well as if they were eating those few days. So the body needs nutrition to heal. So let's maximize the outcomes of healing by putting a feeding tube in. The tracheostomy tube in and of itself is not necessarily a cause of someone not being able to talk. There could be agitation to the vocal cords, whether it's from a person being intubated with a breathing tube. There could be a reason in the brain for not allowing the vocal cords to function properly. Oftentimes, the speech therapist working with a patient will say, I think it's time to get an ear, nose, and throat surgeon involved to put a camera into the vocal cord area, and they're able to visualize the area and see if the muscles are working properly or not. Regarding being able to talk or eat again, the tube, whether into the trachea or into the stomach, in and of itself are not reasons to say someone will not talk or eat again. It really depends on how is someone progressing. It really depends on how is the brain healing. So it's very much a lot of different factors that play into this. So if someone is still in a coma-like state, then eating is not going to occur because they're not aware of their surroundings to be able to take food in and swallow it. Once someone wakes up from the comas and progressing well, it could be the person does have awareness of their surroundings, but the issue could be is that the swallowing muscles are very weak and need time to heal. And the next question in this series, will the brain injury cause my loved one to not understand what is happening and why he can't leave the hospital or have visitors? An answer to this is that we see in the research that people that have mild traumatic brain injuries, also known as concussions, often remember the entire experience of what caused the concussion. And this oftentimes could lead to these patients having PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But it's seen that many people who end up in more severe levels of brain injury and in coma do not remember the incident that caused them to have the brain injury. Often a person, when they emerge out of their coma, may start talking about incidents, but oftentimes it's based on what they have heard from other people about what happened, about what witness A and what witness B saw at the scene of the incident. And then that person may start putting these different clues together to make a story that sounds presentable to people or to themselves. And oftentimes a psychologist will work with these patients to help handle the emotions and feelings that come with not really knowing what happened during the incident, during the trauma that led a person to not remembering the trauma. If a patient is still in post-traumatic amnesia, a patient may ask a lot of questions of why can't I leave the hospital, or why is my friend not here, or why is my loved one not here, or say why are they not here right now at 3 a.m. when all the hospital staff clearly knew that the loved one was there from 7 in the morning till 7 at night, for example. So it could be that someone's in post-traumatic amnesia and is not able to carry memories from moment to moment or from day to day and so forth. Patients with brain injury also lack insight into what's happening, even if they have good memory and are remembering events. So a patient may not have the insight to realize why someone's not allowed into the hospital, whether it's because of COVID or whether it's because someone called and said, I'm sorry, I won't make it, my car broke down, or whatever it might be. I hope this was a good podcast with some applications. We will have another one as our next podcast, applying more of the knowledge that we've seen. Because as we know, theory, information, knowledge is great, but every brain injury is unique. And a goal is to individualize the knowledge to the situation, to the experience, to the patient, to the loved one, as they continue on a journey of recovery. That's a wrap for today. Remember to email all your questions to braininjuryanswers@gmail.com. Check out the website, www.braininjuryanswers.com. Thanks for listening.